Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Be seated. Good morning, everybody. So good to be here with you this morning. Well, I have been communicating over the last week quite a bit with Aniel and through him with Elvi and with Moisa, and they are very happy to be in the Med Rim. This is something they have been preparing for and praying about for so long, and they're so very happy to be there and to be beginning their mission there. And I got a video the first or second night that they were there. The moms on the team went outside of the building that they're staying in, and just as moms, I guess, have an ability to do, started attracting kids. And so there was a video of the ladies there on the team and about 10 or 15 or 20 kids, and they were all chattering in Spanish, which is why they went there, because they were able to connect with these little children and understand the language that they were each speaking to each other, and they taught them a game that they know. And so that was just fun to see that on the first or second night, they were already at work making connections with people. And then last night, I had texted them yesterday and just let them know that over the course of 24 hours, they were being prayed for every single hour by this church yesterday. And they were very moved by that, and so sent me a message letting me know that last night their whole team went into a specific neighborhood in the city there, and they did a prayer walk. And their prayer, as they walked, was just to ask God to show them where they need to live and what people they need to work with, and that God would raise up some people of peace who would be the first ones that they might be able to make connection with. And so they are on mission. The message this morning from Anyo was a big hug. He always, always, always says a big hug. I'm learning that word in Spanish because he always says it. A big hug for everyone. And thanks for all the support you give us to continue spreading the kingdom of God to saturate this city with a new generation of disciples. That's their mission in the Med Rim, and that is our mission in Wichita Falls. Jesus gave us the same mission wherever we are, whatever we are doing. As we go, make disciples. And so I'm going to start a new series this morning. We're going to look at this for the next couple of months. We're going to begin The series is How to Be a Disciple Who Makes Disciples. And we're going to begin by talking about the first part of this, how to be a disciple. And we're going to spend several weeks together just talking about what does that mean? What's that word mean? How do we do that? How do we be disciples? And then as we finish the series, we're going to talk about the how. How do we be a disciple who is making disciples? And we're going to talk about some very practical, specific, helpful ways that we can all be doing that. And you probably know more about discipleship than you think you do. So we're going to have a little test here, okay? So just you answer this question to the person next to you, okay? Harry Potter is a disciple of who? All right. Some of you know, some of you don't. We're going to cover a lot of different areas here. Harry Potter's a disciple of Dumbledore. Okay. Here's the next one. We're going to go back a little ways for some of you. This is going to be my childhood. Not that long ago. Okay, this is the Karate Kid. Daniel is a disciple of... Aha! Now we're getting there. Okay. Now we're going to go back even a little bit further. It doesn't matter, I don't think, what age you are. You know the saga of Star Wars. And Star Wars has a whole philosophy built into it of master and disciple. And so, Luke Skywalker is a disciple of... Okay, here's what I heard. Okay, it all goes back to Yoda, but he's a disciple of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Who's a disciple? Oh, did... Who's a disciple of Qui-Gon Jinn? See, I can't even say the name right. Who's the disciple of Count Dooku? And they are all disciples of Yoda. Okay. Okay, my next line here is not appropriate anymore, because I was going to say, if you can keep all that straight, you can get the Bible. But you couldn't keep all that straight. But you can get the Bible. Amen? All right. You really do know more about discipleship than you think you do. Another word for discipleship is apprentice. And throughout history, the way that a person learned skills was as an apprentice, in a relationship with a master, someone that they learned skills from. Leonardo da Vinci, who we think of as the master, at one point in his life was an apprentice. He had someone who taught him the skills in this master-apprentice relationship. Paul Revere, who we know for the Midnight Riot, was an incredible silversmith, and he learned that in an apprentice relationship when he was a young man. Benjamin Franklin, for all of his all the things he's known for, what he did to earn a living through his life was he was a printer, and he learned to be a printer. He learned those skills as an apprentice to someone who was already a printer. And so an apprentice is a relationship between a master and a student, where that student or apprentice or disciple, whichever word you want to use, learns to do what the master does the way that the master does it. That's what this apprentice-disciple relationship is all about. It's a relationship. It's between a master and a student. And that student-disciple learns to do what that master does the way that that master does it. Now, that's not the way we generally learn a career anymore, but it is still a great way to learn skills. And it's the way that Jesus taught his disciples the skills that he wanted them to know as they followed him. And it's the way that the church has absolutely got to reclaim, because it was Jesus' way. When Jesus describes the kind of mentoring, learning, growing, maturing relationship that he wants with his followers, the word he uses is disciple. Disciple is the word he used, and discipleship is the process that he used. And that's the way that the Bible talks about growing in Jesus and following Jesus and learning the ways of Jesus. And those that followed him and that he discipled, they then went on and they discipled other people in the ways that he had taught them. They were disciples who made disciples. But I realize that for a lot of folks, for a lot of you, the word disciple is an intimidating word. And discipling someone else is especially intimidating for a lot of people. We kind of have this sense that disciples are like the green berets of Christianity. That disciples are like the special forces. They're the real serious Christians. And that they're a smaller and an elite group, but not for everybody. That's kind of the sense that we have. But that's not the case. That is not the case in the Bible. In the Bible, all Christians are disciples. In fact, we've said it before, but in the Bible, Christian is only used a handful of times. Disciple is used almost 300 times. And so all followers, all believers are disciples. And being a disciple of Jesus is intimidating. There is just that reality. Not in the sense that it's a special group of Christians who are more serious than others, but in the sense that the bar Jesus sets for his followers, for his disciples, is really, really high. Listen to Luke chapter 14. I'm going to start in verse 25. Great crowds were following him. He turned around and he said to them, "If you want to be my follower, you must love me more than your own mother and father, than your wife and children, than your brothers and sisters. Yes, more than your own life. Otherwise, You cannot be my disciple. And you cannot be my disciples if you do not carry your own cross and follow me. That's intimidating. And I want you to notice that there are two groups here. There's the crowd, this mass group of people who are following Jesus. They're trying to figure out who Jesus is. Some of them are just trying to get things from Jesus. They're trying to get questions answered, trying to get some kind of help. They're checking him out, seeing what he can do. They're making decisions about him. There's this vast crowd. And then there are his disciples. They are the ones who have committed themselves to Jesus. They're following Jesus. Now, I think we often think there are three groups. There's the crowd, and then there's the Christians, and then there's disciples. Like the crowd is all the folks out in the world, and the Christians are all the people in the church, and then the disciples are the ones who are doing some of this. That's not the way the Bible sets this up at all. There's just two groups. People who are checking Jesus out or learning about Jesus, and people who are following Jesus and who are disciples, who are learning to do what he does the way that he does it. So you can either be in the crowd or you can be a disciple. And to be a disciple is a major commitment. It's a commitment that requires a cross. In fact, in verse 33, a little bit later, Jesus says, "No one can be my disciple without giving up everything for me." Again, that's pretty intimidating language. I was thinking if we were going to offer a class and we said we want to have a faith training class, we'd get people who'd be interested in faith training. I mean, we get the concept of trainers. And if we were going to have a class and we called it a spiritual mentoring class, we'd have some people who'd sign up for that because we understand the language of a mentor. We mentor children at school. We people in business have mentoring relationships. So we'd probably have some folks sign up for that. If we had a class that we called a spiritual coaching class, we'd probably have a lot of people sign up for that because we really get the coaching concept. I mean, we have coaches for all kinds of things, and we put our children under the influence to be shaped by coaches all through their life. So we'd get some folks who'd say, yeah, I understand spiritual coaching. But if I announced that we were having a cross-carrying class, how many folks do you think would want to sign up for that? Or if I announce that we're going to have a class in which you're going to learn step by step how to give up everything, that'd be a harder class to get filled. But that's actually the way that Jesus defined who a disciple is. So with that in mind, heavy stuff, hear the word of Jesus from Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some of them still doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We know this great commission, these final words that Jesus gave to these disciples. And so today I want us to just focus on the first couple of verses in this commission. And the thought that I really want you to grasp this morning, the thought I want you to hold on to this morning is this: discipleship is about progress, not perfection. Discipleship is about progress, not perfection. And we're going to see that in these first couple of verses. Because discipleship is intimidating. There's no way around that. It is a hard call that we answer when we choose to follow Jesus. But discipleship is not about being perfect. It is about making progress. And there's a lot of folks who are sitting in this room this morning. There's a lot of folks who are watching us online this morning who have heard us talk about being disciples, who are making disciples for a couple of years now. And honestly, there's folks who have just said, you know what, that's not for me. That's not something I choose to do. That's not something I think I can do. That's not something I really want to do. And there's probably a lot of reasons that people make that choice, whether you say it out loud or not. There's a lot of reasons that we make that choice. Some of us really are just comfortable where we are. And honestly, there's not many of us who seek out and choose to be uncomfortable. So we make the decision about whether or not we're going to be a disciple just based on the fact that I'm really comfortable where I am. Some folks make that decision because they're just so busy. They've got a lot of things going on. A lot of demands that are made on their time. And honestly, the time that they do have, they'd really rather spend for themselves. I need a little time for myself. Some folks make the decision about discipleship because of sin. Some have some pretty significant sin in their life that they haven't dealt with yet, and it keeps them from being the disciple that Jesus is calling them to be. Some folks, it's just a maturity issue. They just have gotten stuck somehow in kind of a lukewarm Christianity, and they haven't taken the steps to develop and grow as a follower of Jesus. And then a lot of folks, it's just absolute fear. I'm afraid of what this means, what this call means, what this would mean about my interactions with people. I'm afraid. Fear is a huge factor. So whatever the reason that you may have decided that discipleship isn't for you, I want to ask you over the next few weeks to give it a new hearing and a fresh hearing. And especially I hope that as you make some decisions about being a disciple who is making disciples, you will hear this truth that is said and that we're going to see demonstrated, that discipleship is more about progress than it is perfection. Because none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. We know that. There's very few people who really think they're perfect. None of us are perfect. But all of us do make progress. All of us can make progress. And the reason I know is because of the 11 disciples that are mentioned in this passage. Those 11, and there used to be 12, which is another indication about perfection. But those 11, they're the guys who said directly, yes, I will follow you. Yes, I will be your disciple. Yes, I will give up my home or my family or my job. Yes, I will put you first. Yes, they said yes to Jesus. Yes, I will pick up my cross. But we know from the stories of the gospel, and it's one of the things I love about the Bible, how true and real it is, not a one of those guys achieved perfection. Not a one of those guys was perfect in following Jesus. The only hero in the Bible is Jesus. The rest of the folks are just folks, like me and like you. Nowhere near perfect, but praise God, they were making progress. Just take Peter as one example. Just on the one night, not even the rest of Peter's life, just one night in Peter's life. How would you like it if we just took one night of your life and judged you? But on one night of his life, the night that Jesus was betrayed, Peter was far from perfect that night. First of all, he couldn't even stay awake with Jesus 1 hour during this night of agony that Jesus was going through. And then later, he drew his sword and he cut off a man's ear because he was going to defend Jesus. And then later, when it really got tight, he just ran away along with the rest of them. And then, before the morning, before the rooster crowed and woke everybody up, he denied Jesus, and he denied Jesus, and he denied Jesus. And that's just Peter. We could go through all of their lives and all of their nights. They all failed Jesus because they were not perfect, but they did make progress. And discipleship is not about perfection as much as it is about progression. And they made progress because of this relationship that they had with Jesus. See, the relationship didn't demand perfection. The relationship just asked for progress. And as they walked with Jesus, as they entered into this apprentice discipleship relationship with the Master, they learned to do what the Master was doing in the way that the Master was doing it. And so a little over 40 days later, here they are with Jesus. And he still calls them his disciples. And they're still with the Master. And they're worshiping him even in the middle of some of their doubts. And so being a disciple and having some doubts or some questions are not mutually exclusive. You can be a disciple with some questions and some doubts and still be following Jesus and be a disciple of Jesus. See, disciples will fail. And disciples will doubt, but what makes them disciples is they are still following Jesus in the middle of it. They're still progressing. They're still walking. They're still moving forward. And so he had told them to go to Galilee. They went to Galilee. They did what Jesus asked them to do. He told them a certain mountain to go to. They went to that certain mountain. Even with their failures, even with their doubts, they were disciples who were following Jesus, who were obeying Jesus. And that is what made them disciples. So if you fail sometimes, and you don't always measure up, and if you mess up more than you want to, and if sometimes you still have questions and doubts, don't count yourself out as a disciple, because Jesus doesn't. If sometimes you doubt, sometimes you trip and fall, don't count yourself out as a disciple, because Jesus doesn't. And so in verse 18, he came to them. I think there's a lot of significance in those few words. He came to them. And he gave them a mission. He said, "You're my disciples, and I want you to go, and I want you to make more disciples. And I want you to go do with them what I've been doing with you." And that's the mission that he has given us, church. It's still the mission of Jesus. It's what he left us here to do. And he's not looking for perfection in doing it. He's looking for progress in doing it. Because being a disciple is more about progress than it is perfection. And so if for some reason you just haven't wanted to think about yourself as a disciple because of what a disciple entails, then I'm going to ask you to give it a second thought. And if you're a beginner, then that's a great place to start. Because everyone who has ever followed Jesus began and took a first step. If you aren't a beginner, but somewhere along the way you just kind of got stuck, you can start taking steps again. If you've been keeping your distance from all this talk about disciples because you know you and you've failed and you've let Jesus down, then welcome to the club. Move forward to meet Jesus and he'll come meet you. If you've been holding back because you've still got questions or you've still got doubts, then just keep worshiping him in the middle of the questions and the doubts. and you'll progress through them. The original 11 disciples who were closest to Jesus and who were the first to receive this great commission really were not any different than any of us. And yet Jesus still called them, and he met them, and he loved them, and he commissioned them. He said, you can be useful in what I have for you to do. And he still calls you, and he will meet you, and he loves you, and he has usefulness in you. He has useful things that you can do in accomplishing the mission that he's given the church. And I want to, as we kind of close here, move toward communion. We're going to take the Lord's Supper together here in a minute. I want you to really get some good theology this morning. Because theology is important. It's the foundation that we build our lives on and make these kind of decisions on. And here's the truth of the good theology that we find in the gospel of Jesus. Progress is what Jesus is looking for from you. Because he is taking care of the perfection part. That's good gospel theology. Progress is what he is looking for from his disciples, because he will handle the perfection part. Not a one of us can make ourselves perfect in the sight of God. But Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that in the sight of God, we are holy and faultless and blameless. How is that possible? How is it possible that God could look down on those of us who are in Christ, who are trying to make progress, and see perfection? Well, it's not because of anything that I have done. It's not because anything you have done. It is all because of what Jesus has done. Jesus, through his death on the cross, because he was a disciple himself and he carried his cross and he was nailed to that cross and he died as a sacrifice for our sin, and his blood that he shed literally in the sight of God cleanses us of our sin. Jesus is the one who has accomplished the perfection of his people. We do not have to, and we cannot. He asked us just to keep making progress, because he's got the perfection taken care of. And so if you are in Jesus Christ, hear what Hebrews says: but our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. I don't think it's a bad translation for me to say he has forever made perfect those who are progressing in holiness. Jesus is just asking you to progress as a disciple. When the day of his return comes, he is able to present you to God your Father perfect. And so with that in mind, we're going to sing a song. Then I'm going to lead us in a couple of prayers. I'm going to sing a couple of more songs. And let's just give thanks to God and to our Lord Jesus for the work that he has done to accomplish our perfection so that we can make progress. This is how Paul says it in Philippians 3. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing,
forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us.